Have your parents or an aging adult that you might be caring for ever say these kinds of things? I'm too old to start exercising. Or I have too many aches and pains to exercise. Or even, I'm afraid to exercise, I may fall. Based on research and experience, this is not really true, at least not for the majority of aging adults. We're going to discuss this topic on day 12 of the 30-day preparation plan to care for an aging parent.
Hello, Rents.
That's Anastasia. She's my 22-year-old daughter. My wife, Phyllis, and I think we did a pretty decent job of raising her. She goes around and calls us Rents. But you know what? I'm all right with that, because one day she's going to be raising us. And just wait and see what I'm going to be calling her. My name is Zach Demopoulos. I'm your host, and welcome to the Raising Rents podcast. Welcome to the Raising Rents podcast. This show is sponsored by Comfort Care, a national home care provider that will help you live your best life possible. Day 12 of the 30-day preparation plan is the next step in preparing a plan to become a caregiver. Keep in mind, as we go throughout this process, our primary goal for family caregiving, regardless of the circumstances, is to provide a loved one with a comfortable, caring environment in which to grow old. Not too long ago, I was interviewing a medical exercise specialist for a regular Raising Rents episode that will be aired in the future. And during this hour that we spent together in the gym that he was working in, I must have witnessed about 20 people over the age of 80 exercising. You had some folks lifting weights, others on a treadmill or a stationary bike, some stepping over miniature hurdles, and some others using elastic bands to stretch. I was very amazed and impressed with the focus, energy, and determination I was witnessing. Yeah, I did see some chit-chatting going on and socializing, which you would expect from the older generation. But to be honest with you, that's really no different than what I see in my own gym in the mornings when you have folks half their ages or even one-fourth of their age. I asked my guest for some insight, and the way he explained it to me made sense. He said, typically, a person tries out exercising at a later age, either because they had physical therapy for an incident like a broken hip or some other type of hospitalization, and they really got some positive benefits from it, and they want to continue feeling those benefits. Or, on the other hand, somebody else experienced it, and they told them about it, and they wanted to try it. He said they continue to do it on a regular basis because they feel good from it. He pointed out a woman who was walking with a walker around the gym. He said she is 93 years old and over a year ago suffered a cerebral hematoma and was bedridden. He worked with her for 6 months and got her walking again. Almost every day she continues the ritual of increasing her distance. Today he told me she was walking over 300 feet. And though she still has to use the walker like many people her age do, the last few feet she walks, she does it completely unassisted and into the arms of her loving husband, who rewards her with a big kiss. He's 97 and he loves it because he never thought he would see his wife walking again. As I think back to the last 8 years of providing home care in my community, I can almost say with confidence that the older adults who appeared to be doing really well, usually like they're the spouse or some type of relative of somebody that we were caring for, they were relatively more active than their peers. Now, this isn't a scientific study, just an observation of mine, but there are studies that support this. I read an article recently on a website called helpguide.org, and the article was titled Senior Exercise and Fitness Tips by Lawrence Robinson, Melinda Smith, and Jan Siegel. And they referenced a recent Swedish study that found physical activity was the number one contributor to longevity, adding extra years to someone's life. And even if you didn't start exercising until your later years, it still had an impact. They made a statement that I really loved, and I'm going to share it with you. They said, getting active is not just about adding years to your life. It's about adding life to your years. When 30-year-olds were compared to 60-year-olds in an exercise program in another study, it was found the effects of strength training on muscle mass and strength was similar in both groups, 30-year-olds and 60-year-olds. Not what you would expect. This proves why it's never too late to start an exercise program or to continue it as you age, and that you will receive valuable benefits from it, even if you haven't exercised in the past. And if you're not convinced, listen to this study. 90-year-olds, during a strength training program, were found to gain muscle mass and strength. In fact, they increased their strength by 31%, increased their muscle mass by about 10%, and their walking speed improved by 48%. I don't think I need to tell you that the benefits of strength training allow them to walk more confidently, which is going to carry over to everything else they do in their everyday life. And those are physical benefits. There have been studies also on cognitive benefits, you know, working out the brain. This other article, which was titled, "Which is Better for Keeping Your Mind Fit, Physical or Mental Activity?" by Heidi Godman. She shares some really impressive results. In one of the studies, they found something that was quite surprising. They found that it really didn't matter which activity you did, physical or mental. It mattered more on the amount of activity that was stimulating the brain. Another study showed that exercise alone protects the brain. People in their 70s who exercised the most had the least brain shrinkage and fewer white matter brain lesions, which are signs of dementia. And another study showed that older adults who exercised regularly reduced their risk of vascular-related dementia by 40%. Though the direct causes have not been definitively understood, it is likely that regular exercise, the benefit from it, is because it increases the volume of brain regions, which is important for memory and thinking. Another study, and this is really important because there are people who refuse or can't do physical exercise. This study showed that mental activity alone can protect the brain. It was demonstrated that there does exist a direct link between the amount of cognitive activity, such as reading the newspaper or playing chess, and the level of cognitive function in the following year. The author also shares that she reported on a study that found engaging in meaningful activities such as volunteering or doing a treasured hobby promotes cognitive health in old age. You know, it's funny, the younger generation, they'll go and work out because they want to look good, lose weight, get muscles, get stronger. The older generation is no different. And in addition, they benefit from feeling sharper, more energetic, and experience a greater sense of well-being. So why do adults stop exercising, slow down, or all of a sudden become sedentary? Well, you can guess that many times it is due to health problems, but a lot of times they're just afraid of falling down. Many think that exercising isn't for them, and it was never in the past, and it never will be in the future. And then some complain about aches and pains. A lot of reasons do exist why people won't exercise. Some are legitimate, but some are in their head. Either way, it's a real issue if they're thinking about it. And it could be something as simple as not realizing or hearing about the benefits of exercising, like the folks I saw in the gym when I was interviewing my guest. Perhaps it'll be beneficial if you can help them with baby steps in getting them active or starting an exercise program. As you've heard already, an active lifestyle is extremely important for their health, and it's been proven. Besides, it could be a major factor on their future. It could possibly help them live independently longer and not rely on others to live safely. It could keep them out of the hospital by not falling. It could keep chronic diseases in check, like improved immunity, better blood pressure for the heart, better bone density for osteoarthritis, and even lower the risk of dementia. The positive impact exercise and being active has on them mentally has a significant positive impact on them overall. So nobody likes to be told that they have to go and exercise. The thing is, you don't have to go crazy with this. You can combine a nice mix of physical and mental exercise during a regular week of routine. There are different ways to approach this, and it doesn't even have to look like exercise. A good goal to start with could be, let's say, 120, 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise a week. But any amount of activity is better than none. By the way, 150 minutes, that's only like 15 minutes 10 times a week, or half an hour 5 times a week. It is achievable. On the mental side, you can have them do things that they enjoy. Things like seek and find puzzles my dad did every day after he had his stroke. It could be reading, volunteering, participating in a club, building something. Just do things that are engaging and not passive like watching the boob tube. That's TV for some of you who belong to the younger generation. Another thing you can do is combine physical and mental activities like listening to an audiobook while you're exercising, stretching, walking, or lifting weights. Have you ever been to the mall early in the morning? You will find many older adults walking, and they'll do it in groups, and they'll be talking as they're walking. This is a good kind of exercise, being engaged while they're doing activity, way better than just sitting around and drinking coffee. What I'm also seeing, and it's becoming more popular, are classes for older adults, like yoga, tai chi, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, or something called qigong. I might be mispronouncing that as well. But you will find these classes in places like the YMCA or community centers. And in these places, you can also find light aerobics that are either done in a pool or in a gym. There's even a new trend out with bikes. They now have an assortment of electric bikes, which mixes manual pedaling with electric pedaling. Someone who might have like bad knees might stop riding their bike altogether because it's hard to go up the hills. But if they have an electric bike, they could use the electric part for going up hills and use the regular pedaling for the other part and still enjoy cycling. Keep in mind that safety is always the priority here. If your parent is going to start engaging in increased activity, make sure that they have a medical clearance to do it. Find out if there's anything they should be avoiding. Obviously, everyone who's exercising or involved in activity should be aware that if they're feeling dizzy or short of breath or have chest pain or pressure or breaking out in a cold sweat or experience pain, they should cease that activity and see a doctor immediately. If your parent has not really engaged in physical activity before, start slow, build up steadily. It's no different when you were a young person and you were starting out with something new like weightlifting or exercising. Always remember to warm up and always remember to cool down. I found a pretty cool site that you should check out for plenty of ideas. It's the National Institute on Aging, and the site's called Go for Life, G-O, the number 4, L-I-F-E. It has tip sheets, exercise guides, and workouts, among other great resources. I hope this has motivated you to help your parent remain active or get active. I hope this has motivated you as well. Remember that usually the benefits will outweigh the risks. For example, it's well known that the risk of falling and getting hurt is related to the strength of your legs. The stronger your legs, the lower the risk. I've seen too many falls occur in my business that were avoidable, and that is sad. I hope some of the things that we've talked about can get your parent more active and will avoid that fall in the future. So, this is day 12. Join us for day 13 as we talk about the long-distance adult kid who can be a caregiver. Thank you for listening to Raising Rents Podcast. This was episode 21. If you have any questions or feedback, please go to our website, www.raisingrents.com, and click on the contact tab. You can also find the show notes and references to anything we've talked about. Until we talk again, remember that our parents raised us. The least we can do is help raise them. Talk to you later.